Well, today as we continue on in this series, The Wonders of Christmas, you know, when you look at this Christmas story, and I like what Todd said, you know, that when we come to communion, we don't think about a baby in a manger. We don't think about Christ in that way, but when we look at the Christmas story, how can we not? But when you think about the way that he came, there's this moment, this wonder of Christmas where God shows this unexpected favor to this pretty well unknown young lady named Mary. And when we think about why is that such a wonder, of course we know of the virgin birth, which is pretty amazing. But what is the real wonder here? The wonder is really in the why, in the how, in the when, in the where, and in the who of this story. Like the whole thing does not really make sense when you look at the beginning of this Christmas story. You think about this young girl named Mary. That somehow God chooses Mary to be used for his purpose. And you know, for you and me, we can relate with Mary. Because I don't know about if you've thought this about yourself, but maybe if you haven't, you've maybe thought it about me. How can God possibly use him for his purpose, right? I mean, you think that about yourself. How could God use me for his purpose? Why me? How me? Why now? Why here? Right? We start to think about all those questions. We wonder about how could those be? And sometimes we may think God's a little bit crazy, don't we? We're like, why me? And so I think we can relate with this story of Mary because there's a lot of questions about the why, where, who, when, and why it doesn't really make sense. And as we look at this story this morning, I want you to consider something. Have you ever known of a time where God forced his will upon someone? Where he forced someone to do what he wanted? Have you ever seen him make someone say yes? See, God chooses people, but then there's a responsibility on the part of the people. There's this responsibility for us to choose to say yes. See, God wants to use us. He has a purpose for us. He didn't create us, despite what a lot of people would say. He didn't just create us just because he was bored or just because he wanted to see what would happen. He had a purpose. But a lot of times for us to fulfill that purpose, it requires us to say yes. It requires us to respond in a way that we allow his purpose in our life. And Christmas, right here, church, is about what God has done. We remember that every year. It's about what he's done, but you don't forget about the human response that is sprinkled all throughout the story. There's no real Christmas story here that involves the process by which God comes to people if they don't respond with a yes. God shows up to Mary with this unexpected favor, and we see her being used greatly by God. And this is in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." God sent an angel to this small town in Galilee. I don't know about you, but there's times where I read things in the scripture and I just kind of miss something. And then I read it again later and I'm like, I never even really thought about that. I always think about the fact that an angel comes and talks to Mary. And all the years that I've read this, preached this, heard someone else preach it, I never, ever, until like 2 days ago, really thought about the fact that God sent the angel. It wasn't just that an angel came. It says that God sent the angel. It was all about his plan, his purpose. And he goes to this small town in Galilee. not Jerusalem, which people may have predicted, not a mighty city like Jericho, but to Nazareth, this small town on the hill in the mountains of the Middle East. It'd be like God choosing to do something amazing in St. Elmo or Brownstown instead of L.A. or New York, right? Choosing a little place, an unknown place. Why there? Why now? Why this person? But not only does God go to this little hilltop town, but he goes to this unknown girl, this girl named Mary. And we think about Mary was in a unique spot here, that she's a young lady who's betrothed to this man named Joseph. And the thing about being betrothed is it was similar to an engagement like it is today, but it was, you know, a 6 to 12 month period before a wedding. They're basically considered husband and wife in the eyes of those around them. They could only be separated by divorce. They were not to have sexual intimacy until the actual wedding. And so Mary, as this virgin, this is a really, really untimely point in her life for an angel to come and say, you're going to be pregnant by God today. Isn't it such an unusual time in her life? Isn't it maybe a kind of an inappropriate time in her life? Like, God, you can't wait, like, you know, 12 months, you know, like the day we get married, can you do that? Or the day before or something? But why now? Why here? I mean, this is a socially scandalous proposition that God is throwing out at her, that she has to respond to and choose to say yes. But again, why is the angel here? Why has Gabriel come to Nazareth? Why has he come to Mary? God sent him. Some may say God sent him. It's important we remember that this is the work of God. And the work of God in this story, and maybe you can relate and say this is my story too, but the work of God in this story seems to be the wrong place, the wrong people, and at the wrong time. It seems like from a human perspective that God could have done this completely different and not made such a mess out of this situation in this young girl's life. But the first thing we learn about being used by God is that we cannot expect God and his work to fit into our expectations and our life. That's the way we want it, don't we? I just want God to do the things that, like, don't mess up my life, God. Just make my life better. I want things the way that I want them. Can you just, you know, do things to enhance them? Like, give me more money, good health, but let me do what I want to do. But that's not the way that God works. We can't expect God's work to fit into our expectations. We have a lot of ideas of how things should be. We know what is usual. We know what is normal. We know what we typically expect, and we expect our life story to play out according to what we have defined or what others have defined for us, what we want, what we're comfortable with. But how many of us assume that our lives aren't really any part of any grand story? We look at it from such a small perspective that we a lot of times forget about the eternal work that God is trying to do through us. And what does that mean? We may sometimes dream about it. Well, what if God did this? How great would that be? We don't have an expectation for it. It's just, it would be great if God did this in my life. God is not going to be bound by our narrow expectations and our comfort. If we want to be used by God, we've got to understand that he doesn't always just fit in the box. We have to look at Mary. Learn as she did that the work of God, it may not be easy to understand. Anybody relate to that? The work of God's not always easy to understand? Anybody ever relate with the fact that it's not easy for others to understand? Sometimes you understand what God is doing in your life, but the people around you don't understand. They may be like, God wouldn't do that, Right? This is awful timing in your life for that. The situation's not right. Like, surely that's not God. But listen, sometimes it's not easy to understand. You know, the work of God is often, from our perspective, is untimely. God, if I, you know, like, can we, how about next month? Right? Like, yes, I'll do that, but can I do a few things first? You remember the guys who Jesus is like, hey, follow me. And they're like, hey, you know, I got to go back and take care of my dad's affairs. Hey, I got to go take care of the animals. Can I do this stuff? And then, you know, your plan sounds good, just not right now. Like, just give me a few days. Give me some time. But God doesn't work like that. He doesn't fit into our expectations. Do you know that God's work in our lives actually, remember, these are from a human perspective here, can bring hardship or heartache upon our lives, right? There's things that are gonna change. There's things that are gonna have to be given up, be sacrificed, maybe relationships, it may be possessions, it may be finances, it may be status, whatever those things are. We have to learn, like Mary did, that God, when he does his work, he doesn't really care about what our plans are. He's not going to fit them into our plans. So going on in verse 26, or 28, verse 28, it says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. You know, we talked about this last week with the high school group, and I was like, what would you do if you were at home doing whatever you're doing by yourself, and all of a sudden, an angel was in your room? I mean, you think about how startling this probably was for Mary. It doesn't really tell us what she was doing when this encounter took place. She may have been, like, you know, washing some clothes or, you know, making some bread. We don't know what she was doing. All we know is that she had an initial reaction, and that initial reaction was fear, right? She was troubled. Now, how many of you would not be troubled if all of a sudden you're by yourself and there's another presence in that room? Most of us would be troubled, wouldn't we? I mean, most of us would be like, how did you get in here, is what I want to know. The door is locked, and what are you doing here? But she's troubled. I can see why. I can relate. And not only is it some other presence has invaded her space, but he knows her name. Now that's getting real weird. You're a stalker. I don't like this. You're in my house. You know my name. And you've got a message for me. You know, don't act like you would be chill if that was you in your house and this happened to you. Because I don't think any of us would. I can see why here. And so as this happens, she finds out he's a messenger of God. God has sent this person. Does that make it any better for you? Because it doesn't for me. I still want to know, why are you in my house and why do you know my name? Can we talk on the front porch? Right? Not probably not can. It would be like, sir, we are going to go out onto the front porch. Right? Is that how you guys are? If somebody comes to my house that I don't know, we talk on the front porch. That's part of me protecting my family. I will meet you outside. And I would probably treat this angel the same way. That's great, you have a message from the Lord. Let's go talk about it. She's being confronted. And so imagine as you begin to understand that this visitor is there on behalf of God, now you have new questions. Why is he here? Is he for me or is he against me? Right? Am I being judged for something and going to be punished? Or am I getting ready to be blessed? I think we'd have a lot of uncertainty in this moment. No matter how strong we were in our faith, when there's a visitation from heaven all the questions are going to begin to go through our head. We're going to begin to question ourselves. And it turns out, he relays this message to her, "You are favored. You are favored, Mary." Mary is chosen here. She's favored by God. And why is she chosen? What does the Bible tell us about why she was chosen? It tells us absolutely nothing about why she was chosen. Isn't this great? Isn't it comforting to know that they don't even tell us a reason in the scriptures why Mary was chosen? And I think that that's on purpose. I think that it's so it's relatable. That, you know what? There's not really a reason why I am chosen, other than that God loves me and shows his favor to me and his grace and his mercy and wants a relationship with me. That's it. There doesn't have to be a deeper meaning. It's not something that I earn. It's not something based on my status. It's just because of who God is, and he wants to show his favor to those that he loves. Mary was just a girl. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Mary was just a girl. She wasn't perfect. She wasn't holy. She was human. She wasn't any more worthy to be the mother of Jesus than any of you ladies that are in this room here today. It's just the fact that God had chosen her and showed her favor in this moment, right here at this time. She needed a Savior just as badly as any single one of us need a Savior. She was just a girl. But she was a girl with favor. This wasn't about her qualities. This was about God's purpose. It's the same for you, and it's the same for me. Listen, it's not about you and what you have to offer that God is looking at. God has unexpected favor for your life. He wants to use you not because of what you can do, but because of his purpose for your life. But like Mary, a lot of us get stuck right here in this spot. Like Mary, to move forward with Jesus and what he has for our life, we have to be able and willing to move beyond the fear. This is where we get hung up at, right here. Fear. Why is there fear? Sometimes it's this fear of the supernatural. Again, the angel. I would be scared. I'm just saying. He would need to say to me, "Do not fear." I would be afraid, and I probably would be aggressive. I'm just telling you. That's how I would be if a man was in my house unannounced. But we may be afraid of the supernatural. I think that a lot of us are in that place more than we'd like to admit. I'm afraid of God doing something supernatural in my life. Well, if you want more of what God has for you and to fulfill your purpose, you've got to be able to move past the fear and let God do supernatural things in your life. Otherwise, you're stuck with just the lame natural life, right? If you want power in your life, you've got to be able to move past the fear and welcome the supernatural. We've also got to be able to move past the fear of the unknown, right? We're not going to know the whole plan. We're not going to know every step and every move. We're not going to know the end result and what it's even going to look like and how it's going to radically change our lives. And so sometimes we're like, but if I don't know, right, I've been in control of my life, things are going according to plan, and if I don't know where this is going, I'm probably going to say no. We've got to be able to move past that fear of the unknown. We've got to move past the fear of surrender. You know, that's the most difficult thing that we do as a child of God, is surrender. And I'm not just talking about for salvation. I'm talking about to live a life that follows the Spirit of God. We have to live a life of surrender. We have to be able to say, all right, I give up, have your way, do what you want. But there's a lot of fear in surrender. Because we're in surrender, that means we're not in control anymore. We've got to get past the fear of the time and the place and the people, not being the right ones, not being right in the eyes of men, not being right in the eyes of those around us. Because church, we will never, never fully serve the grace of God by hiding in fear. We'll never fully serve the grace of God by hiding in fear. Many of us are still a bit in hiding mode in our lives. We may allow God to do some things, but the rest of it we're kind of like, I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't think I'm there yet. We're not really sure that we want God to fully use us, because it feels a little bit safer when we just kind of keep God at an arm's length. I'll let you do some stuff, but not everything, right? I'll let you do the things that are, let me, you know, it's like getting in the pool when it's cold. Anybody ever got in the cold pool and you try to go in like one step at a time? It's miserable. Worst thing you'll ever do in your life is taking one step at a time and one step at a time, and then until you get to like almost to your waist, it's like, I got to go all in or I'm not in at all. Like, you never get fully in taking one step at a time. You chicken out and you back out and you retreat. One time when we were at Christy's mom's in Florida, they had a hot tub and a pool behind her condo. And so the hot tub was hot in the winter. The pool was sometimes heated, but this trip it was not heated. And so we were in it, and me and Marissa, I was trying to like, hey, let's go jump in the pool. And she's, you know, I don't know. And we kind of talked about it. Next thing I know, she just took off running and just like whoosh, out of the hot tub into the freezing pool. And I was like, well, now I have to do it. I mean, what kind of dad am I if I'm just like, ha-ha, joke's on you? And I'm like, now I have to do it. And so I went and I dove into that freezing pool. I'm telling you, it was really, really, really cold with the drastic change. But if I would have went over there and stuck a toe in, I'd have been like, have fun in there. Let me know if you need help when you get out. But church, it's like that when we follow God. You can't just take that little step and little step. You've got to go all in. You can't hold back because of fear, because it feels a little bit safer where you're at. You know, the thing is about being used by God is, no, you are not deserving of it. No, I am not deserving of being used by God, but finding favor with God begins with being exceedingly aware that we're not worthy and we should not be worthy. It's not about us. It's about Him. And God is calling each of us out of fear and into the work of His favor. He goes on in verse 31 to tell Mary what the plan is, what exactly He's going to do. He says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. And therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." No big deal, right? No big deal if you're this young girl, Mary, in this little town in the middle of nowhere. It's no big deal that this angel has invaded your space. He has a message from God for you today about how blessed you are, about this favor that God is showing you. No big deal that it doesn't fit into your expectations. No big deal that you got to just move past the fear because this promise is great. But hey, God is going to do something through you that has never been done before. Hallelujah. Who wouldn't want to be Mary now? This story's getting great. Praise God for this. He says, you're going to have a son and you're going to name him Jesus. What a name. Amen. The name above all names. You know, Jesus means the Lord is salvation. It doesn't mean the Lord is Savior. It means that He is salvation. He's salvation. He is the way, church. He's the way, he's the truth, he is the life. He goes on to tell Mary about how not only is he going to be the Savior, but he's going to rule a kingdom. Hallelujah. His reign will not end. He's going to be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. God himself will be the source of his conception. And in the middle of this, I imagine Mary getting a little bit excited about what's going to happen, and then she asks a question all of a sudden. And this question is, how can this be? How are these things that God has sent you to tell me today, how are they even possible? How are they possible? I haven't been with a man, right? I'm a virgin. How is this possible? You guys know that it's okay to question God along the path. It's okay to question him about his plan. Now, the difference is, if you look back at Zacharias and Elizabeth with their story, is he doubted, and therefore he had consequences until the promise was fulfilled. Mary's not doubting, she's just curious. There's a difference between being curious of what God is doing and doubting what he has said. And so Mary is curious. How can this be? She knows what's possible, and she knows what's not possible. And what's possible is to have a baby when you've been with a man. What's not possible is to have a baby when you have not been with a man. And so for Mary, she's just virgin, birth, right? These things don't really go together. Can you explain to me how this can be? And the angel explains to her that it's going to be the work of God himself, the Spirit of God at work in you. Church, when there's things that God wants to do in your life that are impossible, human effort can't make it happen. Human planning can't make it happen. It's just not natural. It's just not possible in this natural world. It requires the work of the Spirit of God to make it happen. Church, this is how God works. His Spirit is at work. In creation, his Spirit was at work. In our lives, in our creation, the Spirit is at work. The favor of God is in every miracle, every transformation, every healing, every deliverance, every blessing. Listen, man and woman do the physical, scientific work to create life, but do you know that it's not man and woman who create life? It is God who creates life. Now, he works through men and women. We see it all through the story. He works through us. But listen, God's the one that puts breath in that body. God's the one that puts a heartbeat in there. He's the one that puts a spirit and a soul in that physical being. It's only by God and his Spirit at work. We have to trust God's Spirit to work beyond the natural. We have to trust him to do what he says needs to be done. We all wonder sometimes, but God, how could I be used by you? For some of us, you're like a Mary, and it's like, I'm a nobody. I haven't accomplished anything. I don't have any credentials. I'm not well known. I'm from a little town. Like, how could I be used by you? I'm limited. For some of you, it's because of your past, and you think, well, how could you use me after what I've done and what I've been through? Church, the whole point of the gospel is a redemption story, right? The whole point is a redemption story. There's not one of us that are worthy to be used by God. But he sent his Son to die on the cross, take upon himself our sin and our shame, and be raised from the dead so we can have new life in him. That's how you can be used by him. It's because it's a new life. Amen? It's not who you once were, but behold, the old things have passed away and all things have become new. Church, that's for you and that's for me. That's for everyone who would call upon the name of Jesus. Amen? It's for us. And I'm going to tell you that he not only does this in our lives, but I'm going to tell you he's not limited by our nature. It comes back to the whole don't be afraid of the supernatural. There's a lot of things that God does in our lives that he uses our natural ability, but there's so much of it that's empowered by his Spirit that we could not do otherwise. I always think about the fact that Jason playing guitar, I remember him telling me one time, like, he's like, if I try to play a country song and I try to sing it, it just doesn't sound as good, right? The ability, the physical ability is there. It's not that he can't play it and he can't sing it, but when he's up here leading worship, he's empowered by the Spirit of God, right? There's a difference of having an ability to do something versus having an ability that is backed with an anointing. There's a big difference. And so we've got to be open to the Spirit of God working in the natural in our lives. We may think about ourselves and think, I'm only one person. I can do a couple of good things, but really, I mean, I can't do anything that's really going to influence people the way that somebody like Mary did. But I'm going to tell you, Mary, all she did was say yes. She was just favored by God, met with a proposition of God's plan for her life, and she said yes. Jesus told his own disciples for them to go out into the world, but first you need to wait. And you need to wait for the power of the Spirit. Right? He said, you can do things, but if you're going to do them effectively, you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. And the Spirit filled them, not just with power, but with God's desires and with confidence. And he guided them in what they did. And sometimes this can be a lot to take in. If I surrender to God and he uses me, we start to complicate it, right? We start to think about, well, what do I have to do and what is he going to say and how am I going to do this? I just did this yesterday where I thought through this whole plan and I was telling Christy about this thing and I was really frustrated about it and I was like, I'm stupid. Like, why am I doing this? It hasn't even happened. Like, none of that may even happen the way that it does. I just need to surrender and follow God and just do what he says to do and let him worry about his outcome, right? Just let him worry about his outcome. I just have to be obedient, and it's a lot to take in, but I bet it was a lot for Mary to take in. There's no way that even with what she's told that she could have fully understood how this is all possible. But the angel goes on to tell her in verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing. With God, nothing will be impossible. Somebody say, with God. It's important that we don't leave out that piece, that it's with God. Nothing will be impossible. God knows that it's hard to follow him. He knows that it's difficult for us in this life to follow his plan for our life. But I want to tell you that it's hard when we think about it as though we're all alone. It's hard as when we think about it as though I'm the only person in this plan. It all relies on me. And if I mess up, then what's going to happen and who's going to do it and all these things. But listen, you need to remember, like he reminds Mary right here, that we're all just a part of a larger story. We're all just a part of a larger story. Now, our part's important, church. But it's part of why we say you're not alone, right? You're not alone because there's somebody else that's going through what you're going through. There's somebody else that said yes to something that's difficult. There's somebody else who's also trying to follow Jesus and live a holy life unlike the world in this world that is filled with sin. There's somebody else out there. And so he reminds her here, Listen, even your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant now, right? She was old. She was barren. It was too late. It was impossible. Couldn't happen. What I love about that story, if you go back and read that at the beginning of Luke, what I love about that story is Zacharias was serving in the temple. It doesn't say anything about the fact that they were praying. They were serving. And the angel came to them and he said, God has heard your prayer. He's heard your prayer. It was too late to have a baby. They were too old to have a baby. They were still praying about it, and they were still serving God. And it says that God has heard your prayer, and he's answered your prayer. He'd already done the impossible in Elizabeth's life. Now he's doing the impossible in Mary's life. One is old and barren, the other is young and unmarried yet to even be with a man. And from that aspect, their stories couldn't be much more different. But what we see here is they're both shown favor. They're both used by God, and they're both a small part of a much bigger story that they can't even begin to understand. We've got to realize this, church, that we're just one piece of a beautiful picture. And it's when we're one piece, it means that it's not about us. It's about the big picture. It's about Jesus. Amen? If I do my one part, it fills in that hole in the picture that shows the picture of Christ through the body of Christ. We may think that the others in the story are dealing with something different. We may think that their story is not the same. They can't relate. They don't know what I'm going through. But what we find is that we share something vital with each and every other believer on the face of the earth. We share in the reality that God is at work in our lives. And for that, I'm thankful. God is at work in my life. If I want to be used by God, there's a deeply personal dimension, but there's also this shared dimension. On one level, it's ultimately personal. Me and him, he's given me a call, and I'm saying yes. And that's so important that we get that. But it's never entirely personal, because we weren't created just to stay individuals on our own. We were created for fellowship. We're created for unity in the body. We were never created to be isolated and do everything on our own. Mary responds to all of this in verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What a statement that is made here by Mary. I mean, honestly, this is probably one of the most defining statements in the wonder of Christmas. She goes from how can this be to let it be. Right? How could you possibly do this, to a little bit of question, a little bit of reservation, a little bit of curiosity and not fully understanding, to a place of complete trust and submission, moving past fear into surrender, and says, let it be. Let it be according to your word. The impossible becomes a reality in her life right here, right now. And this brings something that blesses the entire world. With these words, a way is made for God to enter our world. I bet she didn't think about it with that kind of gravity, with that kind of heaviness, as she said, let it be. But her simple yes brought blessing upon all of creation. That her simple yes made a way that the Son of God, whose name is Jesus, makes a way of salvation for all who would come. The incarnation, the becoming flesh. God became flesh. I think we mistake it for that he just kind of slipped into a body and came down here. It says he became flesh. He became one of us to overcome, to defeat hell, sin, and the grave. He became flesh. John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. This is what an answer of yes brought to us. What about yours? What could your simple yes that you see through this small lens, how could it impact everyone around us? What will it take today for you to accept this unexpected favor that God has reserved for your life? Listen, it's not a limited time offer, but it is a limited time offer. We're only here for so long. I'm saying God doesn't have only so much favor. He's got unexpected favor that is reserved for you. He's got a bowl of Susan's favor right here. Right? This is hers. And it's reserved for her. Mark can't take it. It's for her. But Mark's got his own bowl over here. Right? Crystal's got her own bowl over here. Chad's got his own bowl over here. You begin to think about the fact that God has unexpected favor for my life. That's for me. And it's up to me to say, yes, I receive that, God. I want what you have for me. This is the wonder of Christmas, church, is the fact that God chooses you. And he has a plan for your life. And I'm going to tell you that plan will not fit into your expectations. You've got to get past that. You got to move past him fitting into your plan. We've got to realize that we'll never reach that place of his favor while we're hiding in fear. We've got to move past that. We can't worry about the what ifs or the hows or the whens or the whys or any of that. We've got to move past the fear. We got to move past that fear because we have to step into the place. It's like instead of stepping into the pool, we've got to dive in to that place of trusting the Spirit of God to work in our lives beyond the natural. We've got to accept the fact that we're part of a bigger story, that we're just that one piece, that we're not alone, that there are others that are for us and with us and behind us and encouraging us. Church, today we have to figure out, by the grace of God, how do we in our lives move past how can it be to let it be? Let it be. And it's not just let it be, let it happen. It's let it be according to your word. God, what you have said, I receive. Do you guys receive that this morning? Would you stand with me? It's important that we receive what God has said. You know, the Bible is the truth, right? It is the truth. It is perfect. It is God's word. It is full of his promises. It's full of his love. It's full of his grace. It's full of his redemption story that is for us. Church, everything that we need, everything that we desire, everything that we have, God has put in his word. He's put it in his word because if it is written, then it is true. Amen? If he has said it, it will be. And so for us this morning, if you agree with that, I just want you to repeat after me. Let it be to me according to your word. Church, if we receive that this morning, that God, whatever you say, I want it. Whatever you have for me, I want it. It's not about what you think, it's about what he says. Sometimes we don't think truth. Sometimes we think along the lines of the natural and of the lies and of the deception of the enemy or of this world or whatever the things are. Sometimes we think those things, but that is not what is true. What is true is what God has said. And so if we receive that this morning, it's not about what we want, it's about what he wants. And so we're going to come to this place of surrender. Lord, we thank you and praise you this day for your unexpected favor. Lord, your favor that is reserved for those who say yes to Jesus Christ. Lord, as I look out around this room this morning, I see amazing people that you have created. I see signs and wonders and miracles in their lives. God, I see plans that are so great, that are so beyond what we can plan for ourselves. God, I see your presence in this room. God, and right here, right now, Lord, we do come in agreement with what Mary said, that we are moving past the how can it be. Lord, we trust you. We don't need to know all the answers, but we do declare, let it be to me according to your word. That God, we surrender and give it all to you right now. We ask that you would break fear off of people in this room right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. God, that you would allow us to move past that fear into the unknown, into the supernatural, into your ways, into your world. Lord, we don't want you to fit into our world. We want to fit into yours. It's about your kingdom. It's about your desire. It's about your will. It's about your plan. And we thank you so much that you created each and every one of us with a specific purpose in that plan. And right now, today, we receive that in Jesus' name. Will you have your way with us?